Mr. Hinkton, Reel 12, we're talking about when you were at the camp at Fellingbostock. And you a couple of incidents, and you're just going on to the second one.
Yes, while we were there, the German guard didn't know them, but the lads were going up to the machine guns that were laying on the ground here and saying to him, "Which end of the bullet come out? When he put them in? What happened when he pulled the trigger?" And of course, all in English, and the German lad had where they were, didn't know where they were saying. And he was like, "Oh, what? The officer said, "I don't know." He says, "I've yet you here, I've threatened you." He says, "All you can do is ask my men which end of the bullet come out." He said, "I don't know what I'm going to do with it." And furthermore, the lad was going Harry Ragg, because he struck about Harry Ragg at that time was one of the champion jockeys, wasn't he? And he says, "And by the way, who was this Harry Ragg you keep talking about?" It was an experience, that was, but it'd be about 4 o'clock when they finally said, "You're all right, you can get off now." One or two blankets, but not many. At least the letters all at least one each. They've been very selective on it. Only 10, you know, and then they got two. But we weren't supposed to have two in any case, not supposed to have one. It's while we've got cigarettes for them. We just went it.
So what else happened there? Felling, sorry.
Yes, well, we're getting towards the end. The aircraft were getting very, very active. And the camp lights were out more than they was on, because 2 or 3 days before the end, definitely we could hear the sound of gunfire. So the new movement. And things got to get worse.
But in what way?
No food coming in. Water supply cut off. It was going to work half an hour a day to fill up your camera. Lights being permanently out. And then one morning we woke up, looked out, and we could see all the Germans had gone. We could see the Austrian cops driving away and gone. So the British officer said, "Don't be stupid and get wandering about. Just stay where you are. We can hear the guns, and I'm sure they'll be with us before long." It was that afternoon. The tank drove up, and we go straight through the gate. Came an American. Head popped out, and they said, "Stay where you are, lads. We'll be with you in the morning." And they were throwing cigarettes out all over the place. This tank commander. He said, "But for goodness' sake, stay where you are." We didn't know. The next morning, the British office came in, brought a load of food with them. I'm overrunning. There was a South African sergeant major, and the first thing he did after the tank had been was get everybody on parade. Fall in the blue, platoon, get in three, start marching. When the British officer came, they pulled us up to salute the sergeant major, and the officer said, "Well, none of that. Well, none of that, forget it." He says, "These men are going home as soon as we can get them. So please, make wife and put the phone down here." And we didn't march anymore. We got the food in, but of course we got nothing to cook in, so we finished up by making little soup kitchens and whatnot, hot bricks and things we can mug, building little fires and cooking our own. And they,
can I just ask, because I've got a bit confused with your book and it needs to be sorted out. Yeah. That's why I'm breaking in here.
I wrote it.
No, it's all right. Now, you had actually left the camp once and then come back. Could you just explain about that?
Because when the gunfire started, they told us to pack our kits and we were leaving. And we got on the road, we were marching.
Now, this is on April the 8th, and this is when you left your mandolin behind and all your gear.
Left the mandolin and all the gear, and we put it on the road. We went for miles up the Autobahn, and we crossed, went into a forest somewhere, stayed there, we built a fire, we marched a bit more, but eventually, all the guards went bar two, We had two guards and our sergeant major, and they said, we are going back to Falling Bostel. We came down and went back. And when we got back to Falling Bostel, the two guards went.
And had all your gear gone, your mandolin and everything?
Everything
been cleared out. And that's when the rest of the story takes over, where the guards have gone.
Right.
So would that be the next day?
The next day.
So it's 14, in early April then, you know.
Yes.
And so we were allowed,
when the British office came in, took all our dates of birth and everything, working on the old number system. I mean, my number was 26 in the army. You know, we give you a date when we release. When they took over, they said, now, if two men want to walk outside camp, you're allowed to. Watch what you're doing. You don't want any trouble. Now, you may have to do, because there's no water supply here. So I remember I went to Pallet Boston Village, as it was, and the mess there, put two mess in for water. I mean, the old chap there was very accommodating. Yes, my lad, he says, water here, pump. He must have been told to be careful what he said. But I've never had any talk of trouble or anything. They got the water back in the
camp. Could you speak German? Had you learned German?
No, he would.
He could speak English.
English.
Yeah.
And Vatter, he knew what was going on. Vatter. Come mit uns here, come mit uns. And back in the camp again, and from what I can gather, we didn't have anyone at all. A senior British officer stayed in camp, and gradually he lifted us out, and we went by a truck to the nearest airfield. It's probably, don't know where, I anticipate we travelled about 12 miles. Lancaster we came on. We came from there to Brussels in Dakotas, and we stayed a couple of nights.
That'd be your first flight, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the first flight, and it was all right till we come to land, and I couldn't believe it, because they were looking out the window and the world had turned upside down. I was looking out and thought, the world is standing on its side, there's something wrong here. And we landed, and we had a couple of nights in Brussels, and then they said, right, you're going home, but you're going by Lancaster. The road is in the Bombay, it's the only way they could. And it was a rough crossing, very rough crossing, because there was the odd pocket of Germans still knocking them around, who were taking pot shots at us, mostly little rifle shots. And the weather was atrocious, rainstorm, the wind blowing, the old Lancaster was bucketing up and down like a bronco. And this went on. I thought, I should be glad when I get off here, so I'm going to be sick. I felt shocking. And suddenly the side door opened and went across and I said, come on, man, you're out. We landed and the wind was so strong that we didn't even know where we were down. And we were down in Kent. And I'm trying to remember where it was. I know I've been to it since. Near Slough in Buckinghamshire. And again, we stayed there till we got new clothes, documentation. And
you were down to 6 stone at this time. This is when you said.
Yes,
what state were you in? I mean, were you alright? Were you just thin, or were you ill?
I wasn't ill, I was just very, very thin. And although I could walk, I couldn't go too far, because I got too tired. And again, said no marching.
Did they warn you at any time, all the time, had they warned you not to eat too much too soon?
Yes. They said, now, at any time, the cookhouse is open. You come, eat breakfast when you want, or your evening meal. But please do not eat too much, otherwise you'll be back in the infirmary. Anyway, they gave us a good food, you know, good solid food. I think about a week there, I think. And then they sent me on with it. They gave me the ration card. And person died, and I stayed with another one. This year really turned up, but again I thought, I don't do much, because I'm beginning to look like my own.
Had your parents died while you were on
the... mother and died, my dad died in another land, mother died, mother in the army. And I stayed there for a month, and I've got 3 month leave, double rations, and all the money I've never drawn. But that, I didn't feel like doing anything. Anyway, at the end of the 12 weeks...
Were you suffering a bit then, from mentally, from...
You notice now I sit like this. There's many times at night I sit in the seat and I sit like this.
Your legs crossed up?
Yeah, and I can't help it because I get issues. I get my legs not jumping and not being like that. I'm sitting.
And that's caused by your experiences?
Yeah. And I sit for hours. And at the end of 12 weeks, I'd not heard anything. So I went to Ilkeston police station. Saw the desk sergeant and told him. So look, he passed me on his paper. Oh, that's all right. He says, if anybody says anything to you, you've been in here. You've been to see me. He said, but I shouldn't worry. They'll be up in the forum. It could be about 15 weeks of the time. I got this paper to go back to Derby Barracks. And then he said, we're going to St Andrews, which is not going to be. Anyway, off we went on the train. They got there about 2 o'clock in the morning. And the British Army, all the sergeants, put it all in. Told him, I'll be back here to everything. He said, I don't even know what happened to you. You're not supposed to be here. But you mean you can find out. You know, you can wait and come for. No, he said, we should get sent down to Blackpool. So we got back on we went to the holiday camp in Blackpool. And I went to an interview and he said, now look, you've only got about 6 months before you get discharged. Do you want to rejoin a unit, which is now in Austria, or would you prefer to lower your rank and stay with us here on recruit training? I said, well, lower your rank, you can take them up if you want, and I don't want to go back to Austria. So I came down to corporal, and I was corporal instructor for recruits coming in. Of course, the funny this is, holiday camp and all the way around the seafront is just this brick wall made on the square there, same as these rookies, and all the holiday makers are saying, little masters, leave them alone, leave the poor little sobs alone. Because we're chasing around, and the kids themselves are grinning, you know, because the corporal's getting yelled at from them. Yeah. So, anyway, I stayed there, I think, to be.
Were you suffering from depression or anything from your time? Or, I mean, any mental problems with it?
Cause no. The only thing is I've got a bit of rheumatism on my knees, and I've got this continual fidget. You know, my legs are on me. No, I had no mental problems, unless that was the outcry of the mental problems.
But you weren't suffering from depression or no, feeling enclosed or not enclosed, you know, anything like that?
I really enjoyed myself. As I say, I got to Blackpool, we did the normal, finished about 5 o'clock, and then we were free to go down into Blackpool, catch a tram and go down to Blackpool. And as I said, I got to all my back then to come, and I was on a good, I mean, the wages had gone up really for soldiers, you know. And it was all right. I can get down to town every night. And really, the town in the air. And the camp commandant said, I don't know. He said, I have to come here on the bike. He said, you blokes go downtown, you come back on the taxi. we did. I thought I enjoyed that, especially with the lads, you know, staying in the youngsters. And they looked at me, what happened? We got a lot of German prisoners there. We were doing repair for the camp. It was the old, I can't remember the name of the camp it belonged to. Of course, they're all wooden chalets, And after the war, they all wanted medicine. We got the Germans. And of course, I was saying, Fritz, come and see here. And here, all back in, good. And the kids would look at me, you know, and say, hey, what are you doing? Yeah, but it, I enjoyed it, and I got on well with it. With the staff, and I'm not having with the Germans.
You didn't have any problem with the Germans, and you weren't feeling bitter about anything?
No, it was all right. We got on quite well. I made friends, and I enjoyed the trips here in Blackpool. I was a lovely happy there in Blackpool. And we spent down there in the night, and the old story, you know, and the girls, and we took them anything we get hold of, because I wasn't married then. And we used to go up and go in the winter gardens and see one or two of us in there. And Amy Cumberland from Nottingham, and he was getting there. He was a comical little ex milkman, he was. Comical little one. And you could see him in the arm boys with a girl. And he'd go up to him and say, hello, I didn't know your wife was here. How long are you stopping for? And the girl would look at him. You know, yeah, I think you broke up many romance. I got demobbed in February 46.
And you've been there all that time?
I've been there all that time.
Now, what were you going to do when you were demobbed? How were you going to get yourself back into civilian life? What did you plan to do?
Well, I'd not planned anything. I got demobbed from everything. I came home and I went down to Mick because I worked as an iron moulder before the war, down at Stanton Iron Works. And I went down and the bloke in there, he said, please to see you, Harry. He said, he's pound or two for him in the comfort fund that we can save him. And I think about that time, which is in the end of the document. And he said, well, go down the plant if you want and see your old mates. There's a lot of men of them left now. He said, most of these. The work had been taken over by a lady, it's only actual moulding where they've got. And they said, after you've gone, it was all made in the attempt. They said, all down there. Well, I went down and I smelt it. And after 7 years in the flesh here, smelling that stink of iron, I thought to myself, no, thank you. So I came back and I said, I shan't be returning. Oh, dear, he says, sorry to hear that. Why? So I told him. And if you'd been in the fresh air for 7 years and then get dumped in a foundry, you wouldn't come back around it, would you? And this is how I suppose we are. Anyway, I did return to a foundry in Ilkeston, an aluminium foundry, which is very, very clean. But I didn't stay there long. Well, I've been learning, starting in the army with radio, and I've been learning radio at night school. And it was at the start of television. So I thought, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get into television. So I took night school, all I could do, went to Beeston College 4 nights a week. And then as soon as I saw a gap, I went to the electricity board. And I stayed with them while, and then I changed to the co-op television, the television service manager. So things turned out all right. Yes.
Thank you very much. Yeah.